Welcome to Echolocation, the show that explores bioacoustics and environmental sound art. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and sorry to leave you hanging in the dead air for a moment there, but the name of this episode is Deep Dark Silence. So there's bound to be a few awkward pauses tonight. Late November and early December have the shortest days and longest nights of the year. Currently, there's about 9 hours and 30 minutes of daylight out of every 24, which equates to over 14 hours of darkness per day. We're in darkness and we're staring into darkness. After winter solstice, which occurs on December 21st, the darkness is tempered by the growing light of the lengthening days. On the longest day of the year, in June, there are over 15 hours of light. But looking into the future, here in the Northern Hemisphere, there's more darkness in the forecast. And out in the countryside of Greene County where I live, it's quiet. We're listening to the sounds of my neighborhood on a late November walkabout, and there's pretty much nothing going on. As a point of comparison, here's the sound of my neighborhood in early spring. On a summer evening. And at nighttime in late summer. And here's the sound of late fall. Pretty much just the sound of the wind. So on tonight's show, we'll salute silence and all the creatures that communicate without relying on noise, especially the spiders. Try not to cry. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties and online at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, and that was the song Witchcraft from the 1950s R&B doo-wop band The Spiders. And I'm making a distinction here because we're featuring songs from three different bands called The Spiders on this episode. I must say that I never realized just how many bands have named themselves Spiders over the years. According to Wikipedia, there are at least seven well-known bands called either Spider, Spiders, or The Spiders, and we'll hear from a few of them tonight. So we've been talking about the silence of the dark time of year, and occasionally, deep in the night, I'll hear the coyotes calling. But mostly I hear silence. So during these long quiet nights, I started thinking about the only wildlife that seemed to be hanging around, which was the spider in its web in the corner of the room. And I began to wonder, how do those spiders communicate? Do they make sounds? And that question sent me down a wormhole that I've yet to emerge from, because I found out that there's a whole branch of animal communication that I've never really explored. It's called vibrational communication. Animals that use vibrational or seismic communication convey information by causing a substrate to vibrate. The substrate may be soil or a plant stem or leaf or a spider's web or a honeycomb or other materials. This type of communication is ancient, and it's been reported in mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, insects, arachnids, crustaceans, and nematode worms. Vibrations are created in a variety of ways. Some vertebrates use percussion, drumming with some parts of their bodies, to make the vibrations. For example, some mole rats and other rodents bang their heads against the walls of their tunnels or drum their feet on the ground to communicate with each other. Insects and spiders may use tremulation, which involves rocking the entire body with the subsequent vibrations being transferred through the legs and to the substrate, or stridulation, which involves the rubbing together of two body parts to create vibrations. Animals use a variety of body parts to pick up the vibrations that are sent. Some snakes feel vibrations running through the ground with their lower jaws or through other sensors on their bodies. Many invertebrates and birds have sensors in their legs, and mammals have sensors in the feet or the lower jaw. Insects use plants that they're feeding on as the substrate to transmit vibrations that choreograph cooperative foraging forays. Some, like the tiny North American tree hopper, use vibrational communication to warn others about predators or to attract mates. Male tree hoppers use their abdomen to send vibrations through the host plant stem in the hopes of attracting a female. And apparently, even though we can't hear it, these vibrations can get pretty loud. Some researchers have compared the vibrational soundscape of a plant to choruses of frogs or crickets. So just for a second here, let's take a listen to the sound leafhoppers make vibrating a plant. And And I'll post a link to the video of the leafhoppers making their vibrational communication sounds to the Echolocation Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/echolocationWGXC. So head over there if you want to take a deeper listen. Amazingly, plants perceive and respond to these vibrations too. Studies have shown that plants produce defensive chemicals in response to the vibrations made by insects chewing on them, and that they discriminate between vibrations caused by chewing and those caused by wind or insect song. So who knew that plants listen in on vibrations that insects make on their bodies? It's a new one on me. Maybe you guys all knew about it, but I can't believe it. So this episode's not going to feature an echolocator profile as we often do, and instead we're going to feature a vibrational communicator award.
Vibrational communicator award.
And the very first featured species is the spider. And in celebration, let's hear a song from the spiders.
I said one day I'd find the game. Well, now you know they're not the same. I tried to take me for a ride. Now all you feel is suicide.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and that was the song Don't Blow Your Mind, recorded in 1966 by a band called Spiders. And I'm pretty sure that this band was later known as Alice Cooper, but at the time that they recorded, they had the very popular name called Spiders. So anyway, on to our Vibrational Communicator Award.
Vibrational Communicator Award!
Which this evening goes to the spider, an animal that silently feels its way through the dark. Remember the leafhoppers that we were talking about earlier in the show? Well, they shouldn't get too relaxed, because studies have shown that spiders use the vibrational cues that leafhoppers use to communicate with other leafhoppers on plants to locate them for a snack. But beyond just feeling vibrations on plants, spiders have an exquisite tool to use in vibrational communication: the web. Spiders don't see well, and they depend on vibration to perceive the world. The web is often described as an extension of a spider's body because the silk is highly sensitive and can be tuned to different harmonics that allow spiders to listen to their world. Researchers are discovering that web tension and architecture, as well as silk stiffness, affect web vibration. Spiders pluck the strings of their web with their legs and feel the resulting vibrations to determine whether they've caught a meal, are being approached by a mate, or if they need to make repairs to their lair. Male spiders searching for a mate take great pains not to be confused for prey. When a fly or other creature is caught in the web, its struggling sends out strong vibrations which trigger the spider to attack. And I've just got to pause here and say that I learned that in equatorial areas of the world, spiders actually capture bats in their webs and eat them. What? So, you can understand that male spiders approach a web very cautiously and try to make sure that a female does not mistake them for prey when they're actually looking for love. Researchers describe the male behavior as twerking, and they explain that the males take a few steps and then stop to vibrate their abdomen, sending out what is referred to as vibrational whispers that aim to attract a female spider, not to inspire her to attack. I've also got to mention that I stumbled across a website called Arachnophilia, which actually has recordings of spiders plucking and tuning their webs, as well as using other techniques like stridulation and tremulation to create vibrations. So I have a link to that website and other references from this broadcast at the Echolocation Facebook page. So please stop by and take a listen. So we salute the spider dwelling in a web of harmonically tuned silk, staring into the darkness and listening with their legs. Spiders thrive. Let's raise a glass to the vibrational communicator of the episode, the spider.
Goop, goop, get in. Goop, goop, get in. Goop goop get in. Goop 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 get in. Spider.
He is our hero.
Spider. Get rid of Spider.
Step on Spider.
Spider.
We love you, Spider.
I promise not to kill you.
Spider. Spider.
We love you, Spider.
Spider. Get rid of Spider.
Must stop
Spider.
He is our hero.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia counties, and online at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and in celebration of spiders, we just listened to a song called Spider by They Might Be Giants, followed by Nothing Like You from the contemporary Swedish rock group Spiders. It's time for a segment that I call News from the Sounding Board, where I share articles and stories about bioacoustic research and environmental art. I try to share stories that are relevant to an episode's featured topics. So the first article I want to share is from Scientific American. It was published in 2014, And the title is Spiders Are Disturbed by Human Noise. It's by Felicity Muth. And it describes research in which scientists exposed the European garden spider to low levels of noise, medium levels of noise, and high noise. And they found that spiders were most responsive to prey at the intermediate noise levels. Not the quiet ones, but the intermediate ones. And the likely reason for this is because the intermediate noise level is most similar to what spiders would encounter on natural substrate, like a leaf, just from the wind blowing. So having this base level of stimulation may increase a spider's sensitivity to the vibration of prey getting caught in the web, whereas too much stimulation, like at the high level of noise, would mask the prey's vibration. And this indicates that the spider's predatory performance is best when they build their webs on natural substances if there's not a lot of anthropogenic noise around. The next article is entitled Plant Classification from Bat-like Echolocation Signals. It appeared in the journal PLOS Computational Biology in March of 2008, and it was written by Yossi Yovel, Matthias Otto Franz, Peter Stilts, and Hans-Ulrich Schnitzler, with Philip Born as the editor. And the author summary reads, bats are able to classify plants using echolocation. They emit ultrasonic signals and can recognize the plant according to the echo returning from it. This ability assists them in many of their daily activities, like finding food sources associated with certain plants or using landmarks for navigation or homing. The echoes created by plants are highly complex signals combining together all the reflections from the many leaves that a plant contains. Classifying plants or other complex objects is therefore considered a troublesome task, and we are far from understanding how bats do it. And the researchers used a standard machine learning algorithm to demonstrate that ultrasonic echoes are highly informative about the species membership of an insonified plant. And this next article features the work of one of the scientists that conducted the research showing that bats can use echolocation to identify species of plants. And his name is Yossi Yovel, and he's a neuroecologist. And in this study that's described in Smithsonian.com in 2016, it's about bat communication. And the title of the article is Researchers Translate Bat Talk. Turns out they argue a lot. And it's by Jason Daly. So in this study, Yovel and his colleagues recorded a group of 22 Egyptian fruit bats for 75 days. And then again, using a modified machine learning algorithm that was originally designed for recording, recognizing human voices, they fed 15,000 calls into the software and then analyzed the corresponding video to see if they could match the calls to certain activities. And what they found is that bat noises are not just random, as previously thought. They were actually able to classify 60% of the calls into four categories. One of the call types indicates that bats are arguing about food, Another indicates a dispute about their positions within the sleeping cluster. A third call is reserved for males making unwanted mating advances. And the fourth happens when a bat argues with another bat that's sitting too close to it. And in fact, the bats make slightly different versions of the calls when speaking to different individuals within the group, similar to a human using a different tone of voice when talking to different people. And the researchers point out that besides humans, only dolphins and a handful of other species are actually known to address individuals as the bats appeared to be doing. And the final article that I want to share is the one I mentioned earlier about bat-eating spiders. And it turns out that bat-eating spiders are everywhere, study finds, is the title of this article that appeared in Live Science in 2013, and it's by Charles Q. Choi. And it explains that there's only one place in the world to escape bat-catching spiders, which is Antarctica. The people that conducted the study are Martin Neifler, who is a senior lecturer in zoology at the University of Basel in Switzerland, and Mirjam Kornchild from the University of Ulm in Germany. And what they've found is this phenomenon happens all over the world, but approximately 90% of known bat-catching spiders live in the warmer areas of the globe, like in the third of the Earth surrounding the equator. So it's much more of a warm tropical weather phenomenon than a cold weather phenomenon. But 80% of the reported cases of bat catches were due to web-building spiders, with giant tropical orb-weaving spiders catching bats in huge, strong orb webs up to 5 feet wide. And they seem to build their webs near buildings inhabited by bat colonies. And bat catching via spider webs was witnessed particularly often in the parks and forests of the greater Hong Kong area. And future research may investigate whether the huge webs that sometimes block entrances of tropical bat caves in East and Southeast Asia and the Neotropics may occasionally snag any members of the giant swarms of bats that emerge from the caves at night. So that's all from News from the Sounding Board. And now, back to spiders. to echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM, and we just heard the song Spider and I by Brian Eno off of the album Before and After Science. And we're going to spend some time now on a woodsy walk, seeing what kind of sounds we can scare up at this silent time of year at my home in Hanacroy.
Thank you. chasing radiant moon, the storming of boardroom, all the life running through her hair, approaching guiding light, her shallow ears in fright, dreams are made winding through my eyes.
That was System of a Down with a song called, you guessed it, Spiders. Thank you for listening, and thanks to WGXC and Wave Farm for broadcasting my dive down the wormhole of vibrational communication. And if you enjoy this and other programs on WGXC, I encourage you to become a sustaining member, providing a monthly donation of your choosing to ensure that this creative community station has the stable income it needs to stay on the air. You can become a sustaining member by going to WGXC.org and clicking the donate button. During this episode, we heard music from Brian Eno, They Might Be Giants, System of a Down, Spa Music Relaxation Therapy, Spiders, Spiders, and The Spiders. A complete list of references and credits for this episode can be found at facebook.com/echolocationWGXC. Thanks again for listening, and I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, signing off.
Ziggy played guitar. jamming good with Web and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. They played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. They came on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan. Jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass. He was the Nas with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar.